You're listening to Sweat, Snot and Tears, brought to you by Netmums. I'm Annie O'Leary.
And I'm Wendy Gollidge. And together we talk about all of this week's sweaty, snotty and tearful parenting moments.
With guests who are far more interesting than we are. All right, Sweat, Snot and Teary gang. We've both had time off, so we're feeling less of all of those things, aren't we, Wendell? In fact, Wendy's technically still on her time off, aren't you?
I am. I'm in gorgeous Cornwall and I spent the morning paddleboarding, which was absolutely gorgeous, but chuffing freezing because the water's about 8 degrees.
I want to try paddleboarding. Is the standing up bit hard though? Like, am I going to make a tit of myself when I try and do that?
I promise you, if I can do this, anybody can. This morning I had 3 kids on the front of the paddleboard, all leaping on and off and nobody capsized, so all was well.
Okay,
but now everybody's under blankets because we're all so cold.
So, who could possibly be so important that they've lured Wendy back from the beach and her paddleboard to record a pod? Here's some clues. Actually, water is a bit of a theme. I hadn't worked that in because I didn't know when you'd been paddleboarding. But anyway, she's a double Olympic rowing champion. She's a mum of 3, including twins. She's just won gold in her first competition for 5 years. And she's making a bid to become the first mum on the British Olympic rowing team. I'm not remotely in awe of Helen Glover at all. Are you, Wendy?
Not at all. Welcome, Helen Glover.
Thank you so much.
Now, first question first, any sweat, any snot or any tears in your house so far this morning?
All of the above, yeah.
Well, I wasn't even going to ask sweat because I assume you live on a rowing machine in a permanent state of the stuff, but tell us about the sweat and the snot and the tears in the Glover Backshaw household this morning.
Yeah, the sweat is definitely mine. I've done a session on the rowing machine this morning and a weight session. The tears. Who's been crying today? Let's count them off. Logan had a little bit of a tantrum. He's a toddler. Actually, Kit and Bo, the twins, have been very, very calm this morning.
How old are the twins now, Helen?
They're 14 months.
Gosh. 14 months.
And Logan's 2.5.
You really are at the coalface, aren't you? They are difficult years.
Yeah, and the snot would be Kit. He's very teethy at the moment. So, he was a little bit snotty.
So what time do you get up to do this sweating that you do?
Well, normally I get up with the children first. So they're early risers, so they're up at 5 anyway.
Oh.
So I have a couple of hours with them, which actually, it sounds really horrible. But I actually I'm so used to it now and I really love it. And I always feel like because I've had those couple of hours from 5 till 7 with the children, then when I go off and do my session, all the stuff that I used to feel full of guilt about, I just go, right, I've had a couple of hours with them. They're fine.
Okay, yeah, that I can imagine that working. And where do you do it? Where does the sweating happen?
So often just outside the living room in the garden. I've got the rowing machine set up in the garden. And there's a little bit of a weight set up pretty much in the kitchen. so when I'm at home, it's there. And then I often try to get out to our training base, which is just outside Reading. So there's a lake there. So when I train on the water, I go in to meet the rest of the team there.
Very nice. Now, this podcast started as a way of bringing parents together to talk about their experience of lockdown, which we know was the ultimate unifier. You really did take that and run with it, though, didn't you? While we were all messing about with banana bread and drinking heavily once the kids were in bed, you were taking a very different approach.
For so many people, I guess, the pandemic and lockdown has changed their lives. And for me, it's changed everything that this last kind of year has been about. I had the twins in January of 2020 and they were just a few weeks old really when lockdown hit the first time.
Yeah.
And it was just at that time where I was, 4 years ago, I'd walked away from rowing. After Rio, I was done. And then when the twins were born, lockdown happened. At the same sort of time, I was just going to try and get some fitness back. We were at home all the time. I had a rowing machine. So I just spent more time on the rowing machine than I would have done. And then I guess a few weeks in, it became quite clear that it wasn't just going to be 3 weeks. It was going to be a real long slog, this pandemic. And so I just started getting fitter and fitter and spending more time at home, more time on the rowing machine every time the babies napped. And for me, it was the way I got my headspace and my mental break. But obviously, as a competitive rower, I started to get that old mindset back. And every time I saw the scores getting better, I started thinking, I just wonder if it's possible to come back into the sport, if I could make the Olympic team after having babies. And And that question started to come into a bit more of a reality, I guess, at the end of the summer, where I thought, you know, I want to try.
Who was the first person that you vocalised it to?
It was probably Steve, my husband.
Did he say, oh, FFS, no, not happening?
No, he was actually really supportive. The whole time he's always said, look, if you ever want to go back, you know, the door's open. I don't think he thought that was going to apply to the situation after I'd had twins and Logan was still, you know, running around the place. But I just think that we both saw it as really exciting. And
it is really exciting. We're all excited for you.
Oh, thanks. I'm excited to see if it's possible. And also the fact that, you know, you're paving the way no matter what happens. I think if I don't make it, then I'd love to think that the next person who tries has got someone else they can pick up the phone to. You know, when I first started, I called Anna Watkins. She won a gold in London and attempted to come back after having her two boys. And she didn't quite make it back. And I was like, it's great that I had her to call. So if I can be the next person someone else calls, then I think that's just a really important step.
Was the thinking previously in the world of rowing that you're a mum, so you can never get that fitness back? And do you think you're built differently, or do you think it's just part of a bigger realisation that post-birth bodies are actually capable of much more than we thought? Look at Serena Williams. Look at, you know, there is more example out there now.
And like that mountain running woman who was like breastfeeding for like 48 hours or whatever the hell it was at the top of a mountain while she was doing her run, and she still won it. Like, it feels like women are capable of more than people have realised.
So much. I think it's all of the above. I think that the main thing for rowing has always been a logistical problem. You're rowing in a team with other people, so you have to be on their schedule, not the baby's schedule. And especially, I think that's why the pandemic has played into my favour a bit, is that we've all worked from home.
Yeah.
Before, no training would be done at home. And now we're doing lots of our training at home, and you're realising that actually, as professional athletes, you can be trusted to go away and train at home. And for me, that's been the reason I've managed to do it. But then physically, there's just so many unknowns. And I was breastfeeding the twins until they're about 13, 14 months. And I was just realizing that, you know, my body's gone through pregnancy, birth and feeding, all trying to be an elite athlete. And there are so many questions got thrown up that no one had the answers to. We've had to discover ourselves, you know, the physio team, the medical team, the coaches.
Like what? Tell us. What did it make you realize?
How many calories you're kind of giving to your children? The fact that the calcium, your calcium stores are really, really low, iron, all the kind of things that I think seem really obvious when you talk about it. But at the time, I wasn't really kind of paying attention to what my body had been through and had done, and was still trying to kind of compete and train at a high level off virtually no sleep. And I think I probably wasn't being kind to myself. I was probably looking at the old version of myself, trying to replicate it. But no, I'm in a different body now. And
so, back a step, did you have a cesarean birth, or did you have natural childbirth with the twins?
It was a natural birth with the twins, yeah.
So you weren't fighting scar tissue and things, at least?
Yeah, I think it would be really, really tough. I just think the recovery, I was really lucky. And actually, my recovery from the twins was better than my recovery from Logan. I just think each birth is so individual, isn't it? And I think my recovery just happened to be better. So that did definitely make me think it was much more possible.
And so from the nutrition side of things, while you were breastfeeding, did you have to adopt like a crazy diet where you were consuming loads of calories to keep up with the fitness as well, but also like mega nutrients so that you became athlete ready and they became life ready?
Yeah. I mean, definitely the calories was the thing that I had to just keep on reminding myself that you know, feeding to and training.
Oh, that must have been awful for you, Helen, having to eat
those. I know, it was so hard to eat that chocolate. But no, that's the beauty of it. Actually, I did eat. I wasn't putting myself under pressure to eat, you know, crazy, crazy healthy diet. I was just eating, enjoy the cake, enjoy the chocolate. This is great. This is like
hell yes,
that's the job, exactly.
And did it feel different? Like when you started to really go for it, did it feel different from when you used to go for it before? Or was it like an old friend coming back and you were like, oh, I know what this feels like. Yeah.
It did feel different.
In what way?
Actually, I remember the very first time I had to go and do like a trial to try and get back onto the team. And I remember about halfway thinking, having this really, really strong thought of, I've heard people talk about mum strength before, but I actually feel it. I actually feel like whether it's mental or physical, I think you can be the a better version of yourself after school. I really do.
I love this idea.
Didn't Portland Radcliffe come back and smash a marathon not long after
having a baby? So many athletes have proven time and time again that you can come back so strong after childbirth. And I don't know if it's physical. Maybe it's like a hormonal change or a mental change. But I just felt like there's something in me that's different. And okay, there's lots of challenges, but I also think there's loads of positive things about it as well.
I wonder, have any of your kind of team come up with a theory for why it is? Like, does anyone know why it might be?
None that I've heard. I know that for me, there's definitely something in the mentality of it, in the fact that this time round, like when I was thinking about London and Rio and those Olympics, it felt quite a selfish journey. It was all about me. It was about me trying to achieve my goal. This time round, even just in trying to get there and trying to make the team, it's about my kids. And I'm kind of going, look, what can I do? I look at Bo, my little girl, and I think, what can I do to show you, to show you every day, not just what dedication looks like and what trying hard looks like, but when you're 20 and you're making decisions, I want you to be bold. And I want you to take chances.
Yeah.
And I think, like, what can I show you today, right now, that might just have that impact in your life to feel like I'm going to take this chance or take this risk?
It's interesting that you say that, because what I was going to ask you next was, how much of the comeback work do you think is mental versus physical? And is it different to last time?
Yeah, I think so much of the comeback is mental. And almost it's easy to remind yourself why you're doing it when I see the kids and I see them as part of my journey. I see them as part of every success that I have from now. I think that's really motivating. And we did a race last weekend in Italy. And I thought of the children when I was in the most painful part of the race. And I've never had something so vivid, so obvious to think about to get me through that part of the race.
Yeah. I love the way you call it a race. It was the European Championships and you won gold, didn't you?
Yeah.
What did it feel like? Did you think you were going to win?
I thought we could win, but that's the first time I've raced in 5 years. And so there was loads of unknowns. And I think that I was also, no matter how hard we've been working and training, there was a little bit of anxiety about what my body could do. Could it hold up through a race? You know, your core is just so important in rowing. You know, you've got to be strong through your stomach muscles, through your back muscles. And I didn't know. I just hadn't done a race before in 5 years. I didn't know whether I was going to make it through that. And so I think that's given me a load of confidence going forward.
Were you nervous?
Oh my God. I've never been so nervous for a race in my life. I'd never sat on the start line in this body, in this mindset, with such a different circumstance in my life. I'd never raced under those pressures. All the other pressures I'd ever raced before had been about, you know, is she going to win the Olympics? Is she in the prime of her life? Is she in top condition? Now it was such a different pressure that I put myself under, and but loads more unknowns that nobody could answer for me.
And how did you deal with that nervousness then?
I guess I reminded myself that actually it's just sport, and I'm really lucky to do it, but my perspective has changed.
That's so interesting, because is that something that there is something more important in your life now? Are you able, more so than when you were a younger woman, to go, okay, this means a huge amount to me, but my kids mean more?
Exactly, yeah.
Is that how it helps?
Yeah, I detach from everything when I come home through the door. Yeah. A good session, a bad session, I honestly leave behind me. Whereas before, when I was, say, in my 20s and I was training for London and for Rio, I would take home and take personally every single result I'd done, and I'd analyse it, and I'd watch the video, and I would think about it, and it would affect my entire mood. And now it's just something that happened in the day, but the most important thing is, you know, congratulating Logan for doing a wee in the potty or something, you know. Yeah. It's everything, the perspective on everything has entirely shifted.
I think there's something quite freeing about realizing that there is something more important. Like, I can almost understand why that would make you be better at something.
Yeah,
it's a weird thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a weird thing to just do it with passion, not with passion.
Yeah.
How the bloody hell do you juggle kids and training? I mean, like, I struggle to go to the gym.
Yeah, that's definitely the hardest bit.
But I think just to interrupt again, I think we might use it as a bit of an excuse.
I dare.
Whereas I think Helen probably doesn't.
No, but the thing is, it's been my job for the last 10 years, then, you know, being physically fit is my job. And essentially it's like me going to the office. It's like me going to work, you know? Yeah. And so like a lot of women do, it's kind of thinking, okay, it's almost like balancing how much, you know, how much you need for yourself and how much you need time for your kids. And I think the difficulty is balancing, you know, sleep and rest and recovery, because that's kind of non-existent.
I was about to ask, what happens if kids have catastrophic nights? You know, there are those nights where it's like musical beds and you're up and down and someone's been sick and someone's done a poo and someone else is crying, and then you've got to go and get on a rowing machine. Like, I can't even make tea. I put the kettle in the fridge in the morning after those nights.
Oh, yeah, I just cry.
I'm so grateful for coffee, honestly.
And your husband?
We've had lots
good
of
woman.
Yeah, exactly. We've had lots of those nights. And I mean, our three aren't great sleepers, especially Logan. So I always go to bed fully expecting the worst. And sometimes it'll kind of exceed my expectations. But I think the biggest thing for me is A, knowing it's a short-term thing. We've got 100 days to go now to the Olympics. And
I know, I saw the thing saying 100 days and I was just like, oh, God.
But that finish line in sight makes every night not feel so bad. So like, it will end at some point. But then also definitely having the support of Steve, knowing that he'll get up in the night. Most of the time he'll try to get up and settle whoever's woken up first. And so then I usually have to turn up with a second wake up. So.
Does COVID mean can they come with you? Can they not come with you to the Olympics? Are you going to have to leave them behind?
Yeah, I'm going to have to leave them behind. And I know that's definitely when I first started thinking about making the comeback, I imagined and I pictured them being there.
Yeah.
So that's been a really tricky thing for me to get my head around. The fact that they're not going to be able to travel with us.
That's huge.
Yeah, it is. It is. And I think just the, it feels like a gut punch just thinking about leaving them. But at the same time, I think that, you know, it's going to be short term because of COVID, we had to go in, compete and leave.
I was going to say, how long are you going to go for? Like, how far ahead of the actual racing will you go for?
It's not going to be long. I think probably I'll have to be away from them for a couple of weeks.
And then, so that was going to... No, it's not. And it was going to tie into my other question, which is, how many nights of uninterrupted sleep are you going to need before the Olympics? And have we factored that in?
Well, part of me is awful, but part of me can't wait to go there so I get to sleep.
Yeah, I'd quite like to come with you, actually.
I'm like thinking, I've already got this little list of kind of Netflix series that I'm going to watch because everyone's been talking about them and I haven't had time to watch them and things like that. So there's definitely going to be perks to going away, even though I'll miss them, of course.
It, like, is Granny coming or someone, or is Steve just flying solo with three kids?
And... Yeah, my mum has been amazing. And so I think we're planning on her coming up and Steve will obviously be here. But my mum's going to come and help because it's a lot, the three of them, especially kind of evening, bath, bed routine, things like that to do on your own.
But is there an element of him being well jealous as well? I bet he'd love to come and compete again, wouldn't he?
Do you know what? I think Steve is... He's just massively supportive. And I think whenever he's watching me, I think he's just always, he feels like he's, again, like the kids, he's much more part of this journey than he ever was before. You know, when I was competing at Rio, again, it was just kind of me and he was on the sidelines cheering me on. But this is
like a whole family in this, is what I feel like.
It is. And he's watching me on the rowing machine. And when I was first starting out, it's almost like he was coaching me. I wasn't even in touch with the members of the British rowing team. I was just trying to do it on my own. And so, yeah, he's definitely been part of it all.
So should we all be taking up rowing postnatally? Do you think it would be good for all of us to get our cores back in place and stuff?
I think I'd be really careful with it because I think a big part of the fact that I could take it up so quickly again was because I had such a big history in it. And so my sport, my body was kind of used to it.
Yeah.
But I think if you manage to kind of look after your core and get yourself back to having a decent core after childbirth is a great exercise because it's no impact. So yeah. I know that, I mean, I definitely for a very long time wouldn't have wanted to run. But when I was still at the point where I wouldn't want to run, I was on a full rowing program. So things like, you know, if your joints have changed or if you're just still not comfortable running, I really think that as long as you're happy with where your core is, then rowing is a really good option. Yeah.
One thing I wanted to ask about, following what Wendy said about, was Steve jealous? Have other people in the industry, and I'm not asking you to name names, but has anyone else given you a hard time because they kind of thought you were out of the game and now you're back on the scene and they're like, oh, yeah, she's a mum and she's had twins and...
And shit, she's better than me and that means I might not be on the team.
Yeah.
Not a hard time. I think people have been really, really supportive and maybe a little bit... definitely surprised that I came back in the first place. And I think also surprised with the fact that I've managed to get up to the level that I have. And I think that it's really opened people's eyes as to what's possible. I even at the European Championships, I spoke to a French woman who had retired after London and started a family. And she was like, no one in France does this. All the girls are talking about maybe, you know, we've got people talking about making a comeback now and changing their minds about whether it's possible. And so, yeah, I think that people probably aren't jealous, but people are definitely thinking, wow, this is exciting to think that it could be possible.
So I wanted to talk to you about the inspiration bit, because obviously, look, I have never had much interest in rowing before, but I'm massively excited about you and what you're doing, and which is fabulous. I'm imagining that there's lots of people who are involved in sport, either professionally or just at a very high level, non-professionally, who this has been massively inspiring for. But I know that you're also working to try and inspire kids and families. You're working with Yachtplay, aren't you, to do stuff. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, well, Yachtplay Yogurts are a sponsor for Team GB.
Right.
And what really got me interested in what they're doing is that their big drive is getting children active and outdoors, and they're doing a kids' Olympic sport, you know, where you're kind of doing different Olympic sports through the summer and different versions of Olympic sports through the summer. Just to kind of, I think, especially after the year that young people have had.
Definitely.
Yeah, getting them kind of really engaged and excited about physical activity again, I think is really important and really healthy. So I just really like their ethos, and I'm really excited to be working with them.
Well, the Olympics has come at the perfect time in a way. Like, need to all come together about something exciting and positive.
My kids' school is doing, like, they did run to Rio last time, and this time they're doing, I don't know if it's travel to Tokyo or whatever it is, but basically every morning they've worked out how many laps of the playground it takes to get to the Olympics.
That's amazing.
And the whole school has to run it before school in the course of the next term. And I think it's such a lovely idea, because it's a long way away when you're 7 and you don't have a clue what the Olympics is and stuff. And I think it's so lovely.
Yeah, and I do think that definitely the timing of it will hopefully kind of bring people together. It'll hopefully be at the time when we can, you know, start to meet up and start to enjoy a bit more normality.
I'm like some sort of Olympics nut. I get super overexcited anyway, but I'm a bit of a rowing know-nothing. Although I have rowed down the Thames with, I've forgotten his name.
This is something I don't know about you, Wendy. When was this? Where was I that
day? King of rowing, Helen. Who's the king of rowing?
Steve Redgrave.
Thank you very much. I had to do a promotional thing with David Lloyd Leisure, and they put he and I and a couple of other people in the Queen's rowing boat.
Wendy, this is hilarious. Is there a video of this?
There is a photo. I am 5'1" and a bit at a push. And so you can imagine that Steve had a small problem, that my rowing stride, as it were, I was like going, trying to keep rowing. We did, basically, in the end, I put my feet up and they rowed and I just sat there. That's an aside. Anyway, sorry, dear listeners. What I'd like to know, Helen, is, for those of us who know nothing about rowing, how can we follow your progress, and when will we know if you're in the team?
Well, firstly, I think if you're going to have any rowing experience, I would, quit after that first one.
That's it, I've peaked.
Yeah, you peaked really early there. So. No, in terms of making the team, I don't know. So we've got a 6-week training block now. And then I think shortly after that will be where people are kind of going to be finalised, going to do some testing, do some racing.
How many people is it between?
Well, it whittles down all the time. So I think on the team at the moment, there'll probably be about 6 people who won't make it, who won't make the seat. It's the heartbreaking time.
But surely you've got a seat because you won the gold last weekend.
I hope so. I think there's just... Every day in training, you have to prove yourself. You know, you've got to keep yourself fit, you've got to keep yourself healthy. But yeah, it's looking positive.
How are you coping with the stress of this? Like, I would seriously not be able to sleep worrying about it.
I do try not to think about it. And like before, it was just everything I thought about. And now, honestly, if I want to just de-stress, I'll just kind of like look at the children and go, right, who wants to play hide and seek? And just totally kind of shift things, or, you know, just do something different with the children. And then I just don't think about it.
If the worst were to happen and you didn't get it, but I think you are, so I'm not saying bad things, how would you cope?
Do you know what? I would like to say, oh, I could see the perspective and, you know, I've got children.
I wouldn't.
Yeah, honestly, I do think that I've invested time, I've invested a lot of heart into it now. And if I don't make it, I'll be gutted. But I, you know, I think that the old me would want to kind of bury it and pretend it never happened. But I think it's important that I remember that it's happened and that what I've learned.
And you tried.
Yeah, and when I first started, I did not think I'd get this far. And I thought, I'll just know that I tried. And that was enough for me then. So I think I've got to remind myself of, you know, it being enough.
But I've got to ask, with two Olympian parents, what will you think if one of the kids, both of the kids, three of the kids want to do this? Are you going to be like the pushy parents behind them? Or are you like, Christ, I don't wish
this. He's not an Olympian, but he is a sports, like a sports person.
Okay. He didn't do the Olympics, my apologies.
That's all right. But I think that there's definitely an expectation already from both people who follow Steve's stuff and people who follow my stuff. There's definitely an expectation of that the kids will go into something like that. Like, I think Steve hears that a lot from people he meets, and so do I. But the more I think back to my early sporting career when I was younger, the more I think I don't want to be like a certain group of parents that I can remember.
You came to rowing quite late anyway.
I did, but I was 21 when I started rowing, but when I was, when I was like 7, 8, 9, 10, I was running and playing hockey and netball and all those things. And I've got memories of parents who I absolutely loved and who were massively supportive. And I've got memories of parents who were way too competitive
and pushy
and just everything I don't want to be for my kids. And if they're not sporty, if they don't want to be professional sports people, I couldn't care less. But I would like sport to be part of their lives. Whatever level, I don't mind. But I think you get so much from sport, whether it's friendship groups or communication or leadership. So I think I'd love them to have a love for sport and find something they really enjoy.
Well, that leads on to one of the questions we ask everybody. How do you want to be remembered by your kids?
I want them to remember me as being present. You know, even when I'm physically there with them, I'm looking at them, I've got eye contact, they feel my presence.
That's a great answer.
That's lovely.
That's a really great answer. Now, that's always one of the last questions that we ask on the pod, followed by two more. One is very banal, one is quite off the wall. I'll go with the banal. What's for tea tonight and who's cooking?
Spaghetti bolognese, and I've already cooked it. I cooked it
once. Oh, yes.
You are basically Wonder Woman. This is not allowed.
Winning.
By the way, that never ever happens. I'm so prepared today.
Ah, she's winning. I'm having a Cornish pasty. Just
oh,
saying.
I'm Cornish, so yeah. I'm very
I'm in Cornwall. There we are.
Okay, perfect.
And now this one, slightly trickier for some. You have to imagine that you're tucking Annie and I into bed, that we are the twins, and you have to sing us your lullaby.
Oh, I've got the worst singing voice.
No, you're better than us.
No, you don't. We do. But we know that every parent has a song that they fall back on when the kids are not relaxing.
Okay, you ready for a line of Puff the Magic Dragon?
Oh, God, it makes me cry.
Puff the Magic Dragon lives by the sea and frolics in the autumn, this little land called Hornerly. I may have got the words wrong, but that's the version we go.
That's what I think.
That's lovely. And I haven't heard Puff the Magic Dragon for ages.
I know.
One of my brother's favourites. So
it's always a fun.
I know. Helen, come on. When are we going to know? Like, is there a date? Do you think we'll know by at least?
I would say in a month's time. And 2 months' time.
And how will you find out? And how will we find out? Will you get a phone call? Or do you get told at training? Or what happens?
We'll probably get sat down at training and told the final selection. Yeah, that's a day that's very emotional for everybody involved. But yeah, we'll get sat down at training, and then there'll be very, very shortly after, I mean, a day or two after, there'll be a press announcement with all the final team selection.
That's quite good, actually, that you get to wrap your head around it first, right?
Yeah, and we get to phone family and tell them.
When you've won your gold medal, will you come back? When you're holding your medals, will you come back and talk?
Please know that we're going to be cheering you on loud.
With your pin.
Oh, thank you so much. No, but I've had so much support, and I think that mums have been the thing that have honestly got me through this year. So when I made the announcement that I was coming back, I've never made an announcement like that before. And I honestly made the announcement, did it on BBC Breakfast, and then turned off my phone, turned off my laptop, absolutely horrified at what I'd just done, thinking, oh no, what are people going to think? What are people going to say? And the next day I looked on Instagram and Twitter, and honestly, my heart has never been so full with messages from mums and people who had said, you know, we're behind you, we wish you good luck. There were people who said, you know, this has inspired me to get my trainers on. This inspired me to take up something that I left behind me when I had children, and now I want to take up again. And honestly, in that day, I thought, this is worth it. Just even if I don't make it, in the fact that people are just a little bit inspired and possibly changing one person's course in life, I can't say thanks to everyone enough for the amazing support I've had.
That's lovely to hear. I think you're not just inspiring to mums, though. I think this is inspirational to women and to anyone who's ever either been underestimated by anybody else or underestimated themselves. Like, this is such a great, great, great story. I love it. Well done.
I hope so. I hope people can feel exactly. It's not about just being a mum. It's about just saying, I think I can do it, and at least I want to try. So I hope so.
It's the best of humankind, I think. It's brilliant. So thank you for being an amazing guest.
Thank you.
All right, best of luck.
Thank you so much. Lovely to talk to you.
Yes, good luck.
We believe in you.
Take care. Loads of luck. Bye.